You turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, please. I'm not going to read the passage at the beginning. I'm just going to read it as we get to certain points of the message. Luke chapter 2. We have been watching as God's plan to send the Lamb into the world has unfolded. When mankind fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, at that point, God promised that He would send a Redeemer. He would send a Savior. And all through the Old Testament, God was working to bring this event to pass. One of the great occasions was one day God told Abraham to take his son Isaac and to go to a mountain that he would tell him of and be ready to offer his son as a sacrifice upon that mountain. And as they were going, things became a little suspicious for Isaac. He began to look around and wondering where the sacrifice was. And the Bible says what happened. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Our text tells us about the time that Abraham's prophecy or promise was fulfilled. And so today I would like us to learn something about how God provided this lamb. First of all, let's look at verses 1 through 7 of Luke chapter 2 and consider the place involved in this lamb's provision. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The planning of that place. The fact that Jesus was born in an obscure little town called Bethlehem was no accident. God had prophesied this hundreds of years before. He said that the Messiah, the Savior of the nations, would be born in Bethlehem. And it's just incredible when you consider all of the providence of God in this story and the providence of that place. It should not surprise us that Jesus was born exactly where the Bible said He would be born. But the events surrounding His arrival were simply amazing. Verse 4 tells us that Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. This city is some 70 miles north of Bethlehem. For the Messiah to be born in the right location, a series of events had to take place. And all of these events had to happen at the same time and in the same sequence. There was this pagan emperor named Caesar Augustus who had to issue a decree that all of the world had to go back to the place where they were born, and they had to be counted and they had to be taxed. The order for this census was worldwide, according to what Luke says and what history proves to be true. And so Joseph takes Mary, his espoused wife, who's pregnant at the time, and travels to his ancestral city of Bethlehem. That may not mean much to you, but what it tells me is that although Caesar is ruling, God is overruling. God is working behind these events to set things up, to bring to pass His plan which He had from the foundation of the world. God is working it out so that the details that are necessary for Jesus to be born where the prophet said he would be born could happen. By the way, if God can set up all of these details in the life of Jesus, don't think for a moment that he cannot take care of the little details and the big circumstances of your life. He's behind the scenes in your life. He's orchestrating. He's working things out in your life just as well. And if God could change the heart of Caesar, God could change the heart of anyone, parents and whoever is the authority in your life. God is working out the situation to show that he is in control. And God is in control of all of your life as well. And I know it's hard, but we need to trust him and realize that he is a sovereign God. And all of the situations that need to come to pass in your life will happen. He'll give you the right opportunities. He'll help you to meet the right people. And we just need to trust him and wait on him for that to happen. He can take care of the details of the birth of his son. He can take care of the details in your life, but also the poverty of that place. When the young couple arrived in Bethlehem, they discovered that there was no place for them to stay. There was not any room in any of the Holiday Inns or the Comfort Inns or whatever inns they had those days. There was no room for them. And so Jesus was to be born in a stall used to house animals. When Mary delivered Jesus, she placed the baby in a feeding trough. God himself came into this world, a little baby, but not in the lap of luxury. That's where Herod expected. Where else would a king be born? In a palace, in a place of luxury, in a place where he was surrounded by royalty. But Jesus was born in poverty. He humbled himself and he came into this world as a servant. His humble birth signified the kind of life that he would live. All through life, Jesus lived in poverty. He had nothing. He had no place to lay his head, the Bible tells us. And when he died, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. He had nothing. Think about it. The God who had everything and who could have had anything that he wanted chose to live a life of poverty. Why? Do you know it was because of his great love for you? Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus allowed himself to be born and to live this way so that he could bear our burdens, so that he could understand our burdens. He did it so that he could do our suffering for us, so that he could die in our place and lift us out of our circumstances if we would simply call upon him by faith. And then consider the pictures of that place. We are told that Mary took her baby and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You know what swaddling clothes are? Swaddling clothes are grave clothes. She wrapped that infant in grave clothes, signifying what was going to happen with his life. Even from the very beginning, Jesus was born to die. He was wrapped in grave clothes as a symbol of what would take place in his life. He was also wrapped in those clothes because it was a sign to some seeking shepherds. Again, we see the providence of God on display. There are no accidents and coincidences along life's ways. Everything happens for a purpose. It happens for a reason. Then we are told that she took the baby and placed him in a manger. This word refers to a feeding trough where animals would find their food. I don't believe that this was an accident either. The bread of life was placed in a feeding trough. Jesus came to satisfy the hungry souls of dying men. Therefore, it was appropriate that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which, by the way, the city means the house of bread and praise. Jesus was born in the house of bread and praise and placed in a feeding trough as the bread of life. Has Jesus entered your life and satisfied your hungry soul? Let me tell you, He is the only person. Salvation in Christ is the only thing that can satisfy a hungry heart. He is the only one that can satisfy a hungry soul. You don't believe me? You look at people in other religions. You would think that when they come to the knowledge of who their Savior, or whatever they call Him is, they would find joy and peace. But that's not true. They still lack joy. They still lack peace. And they live their life trying to reach some amount of goodness or some blessing. And they never find it. The people who look for truth and never find it are the most miserable people on the face of the earth. But when you have tasted of heaven's bread, when you know Jesus Christ, He satisfies the hungry heart. You know that the truth that you have been seeking for has been found. And there is peace, and there is joy, and there is contentment. And then the promise of that place. I'm glad today that Jesus was born in a manger and not a palace. If He had been born in a palace, the shepherds probably would not have had access to Him. But because He was born in poverty and in humble surroundings, He's more approachable to the common man. Now, I, for one, you probably as well have less trouble coming to a Lord who has walked down some of the hard paths of life as we have walked. Somebody who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Somebody who lived and bled and died. Somebody who can relate to us. He was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. What you face, He has faced. He knows your needs. He's experienced those. He knows how you feel because He's felt the same way. So He truly can be our Savior. He truly can be our deliverer. He understands. God revealed the good news to some poor, humble shepherds who were outside the town on the Judean hillsides. You look at their occupation, the Bible simply calls them shepherds. Being a shepherd in those days was dirty work. It was hard work. Shepherds weren't known to be the best of men, didn't live good, clean lives. They had reputations. Shepherds were often considered unclean because of their duties. And because the sheep needed constant care, they were not able to get to the temple very often for cleansing. And so they were considered unclean. They were the lowest of the low. It's interesting that these were probably the very same people, though, who raised the sheep that were used in the temple for sacrifices and offerings. And yet these men were outcasts. It is to these people that the glad tidings came first. Men may not care about you. People may look down on you. But there's a God in heaven who loves you in spite of everything. There's a God in heaven who loves you despite your past. No matter what you have done, He still loves you. And He comes to you wanting to be your Savior, wanting you to hear the good tidings of great joy. The shepherd's obedience. Look at verses 15 and 16. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. As soon as these men heard the news, the angels left. They left those sheep. They hurried into Bethlehem to find Jesus. When they arrive, they find everything to be just as the angels had said. And then verses 17 to 19, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. See, as soon as they realized the magnitude of what they had seen and heard, they went and told others. They started praising God and they went and told others. When we understand the great news, the blessings of grace, it is not good to keep quiet about it. We have to share that news with others. In fact, we are obligated. We who know the good news of salvation through Jesus are under a divine obligation to share that news with everyone we meet as we pass through this life. We have a Savior and we have a message worth sharing. When we consider their praise today, verse 20 says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." There was the heavenly appearance. Suddenly the angel of the Lord appears above those shepherds. The shepherds, as you can imagine, as you would be, are instantly terrified by their heavenly visitor. But then the angel makes the announcement, not leaving them in fear for long. He begins to speak. He tells them that the hope of the ages has been provided. He tells them that a Savior has been born. He tells them of the Christ, the Anointed One. He has arrived. He tells them that the Lord has been born in Bethlehem. He also tells them where to find the child and how to recognize him when they arrive. What an announcement. The world has wallowed in the grip of sin for thousands of years, waiting for this moment, waiting for the appearing of the one who would sever the bonds of sin and deliver men from the curse. Now he has come. The wait is over. Salvation will be accomplished just as God promised that it would be. And the announcement was made to those humble shepherds as they were going about the ordinary business of life. You will notice that the angel made the message personal to the shepherds. He said, "Unto you is born." Thank God that the message is a personal one. It was given to the shepherds, but it was made available to all. And when God breaks into the ordinary events of your life, please don't turn him away. And recognize and realize that God could step into your life in a miraculous way at any time, at any moment. And it'll usually happen when you're just living life in a routine way, in an ordinary way. But God uses those times to transform your life into a supernatural event. That's what happened with the shepherds. They were just going about their business, just taking care of the sheep. Just doing what they always did. And all of a sudden, the heavenly visitor shows to them and presents Christ in a personal way. From time to time, as you go through life, you have these encounters, maybe not with an angel, but you have these opportunities, these encounters, where you get to know the Lord in a more personal way. Supernatural events take place in your lives are changed. Be ready for those times when they come. And then the heavenly anthem. As soon as the angel finished delivering heaven's message to the shepherds, he's joined by a great multitude of angels who praise God and declare the truth that the message is indeed for all men. So this is a message for all people, but yet it's a message that needs to come down to a personal level. And we see how the shepherds took this message personal as they gave human praise. The angels praise the Lord for what he has done for others. The shepherds praise the Lord for what he has done for them. And what a difference that is. You know, I'm glad that you are saved. Makes my heart glad. You're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I am so happy for you. But at the same time, I'm happy for me because I've also experienced that. See, we can be happy for others, but we also need to be happy and joyous for ourselves. He has done something in my heart for which I can praise him for. Hopefully, he has done something in your heart for which you can praise him for. The praise of convinced hearts. When They found Jesus just as the angels said they would. When they met him for themselves, they could praise him out of a heart that was convinced of the truth. But also the praise of changed hearts. You know, it must have been something for the people of that day to watch a group of raw, sinful men who just happened to be shepherds. Watch them changed. You know, last time they were in Bethlehem, they probably lived their old, sinful, carnal life. But now, when they came back to Bethlehem, they were changed. They were new creations. Something had happened. And they were excited about it. They went around praising the Lord to others for what God had done for them. They can't keep their praises in. And they return to their flocks while their shouts fill the air. You know, that's what Jesus will do for you. That's what he wants to do for you. You might not shout a whole lot, at least in this life, but he will change you. When we have an encounter with Christ, he changes us. He gives you a new life and a new way of life to go with it. And when he does, when he changes you, when you feel that relationship, when you have that joy, there's some excitement about it. There has to be some joy. He fills you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And surely that joy has to leak out from time to time. When Jesus takes you, saves you, and changes you, you will want to praise him for who he is and what he has done in your life. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? I hope today that you agree with me that the Christmas story is a special story. That God would send his Son into the world to die for sinners is a blessing beyond description. That he would love us to that level is amazing. It's beyond the power of words to describe. Ladies, I think we'll sing Such Love, 295. Of course, there is nothing more than a story if you haven't experienced the power of the Lamb of God in a personal way. You may enjoy hearing the Christmas story. You may love Christmas time. But you've missed the whole reason if you have not yet trusted Jesus as your Savior. Until you have received the Lamb of God as your personal Savior, and until you know the power of his salvation, you will never really understand Christmas and the wonder of what God did when he provided his Lamb to die for the sins of the world. Are you in a personal relationship with Jesus today? If you are, then you know that what I'm saying is true. You know what I'm talking about. If you are not, you can come to know him if you will come before him and trust him by faith. Will you do that today? Will you embrace heaven's Lamb as the Savior of your soul? The Lamb was provided for you, but he will do you no good unless you come to him. Is there anybody here by a raised hand who'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm coming to the Lamb today. I'm coming and I'm trusting in his provision, receiving his sacrifice as the Lamb of God for my sins. Anybody, would you just raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you today. Anybody at all? I just don't want to take it for granted. I've learned a few times in my life that you don't take people's relationship with Christ for granted. Perhaps there's somebody who's heard the message many, many times, but you know that you have not received Jesus personally. Or maybe you've only heard it a few times, but I would encourage you to respond to the message today. Is there anybody with a raised hand? Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Christ as a sacrifice for my sins, as my Savior today. Anybody? And Christians, I would like to challenge you today to praise him simply to praise Him. Let your joy leak out during this Christmas season. I know some of you go through tough times. There's hardships. You might not do a lot of shouting, but still there is something different about you. There is still a joy and a peace because you know Christ. Don't hold back on that. Let others see the joy that comes from knowing Christ. Father, we thank you for that indescribable gift that brings such great joy. Not just joy for the world, but joy for us as individuals, joy to our hearts. Lord, help us to praise you. Help us to be like those shepherds, to not be ashamed to praise you in front of others. And Lord, we don't know this for sure, but I think that perhaps because of the message of the shepherds, that there were others who went and visited Jesus at that manger. And I pray, Lord, that because of our lives, there would be others who would go and visit you at the foot of the cross. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.